Blog Talk Radio.
I dream of a city called glory, so bright, so fair. When I entered the gate, I cried, "Home."
Bye. thank God. Welcome to the Sound Doctrine broadcast, coming to you live. We're on the road this evening. Mal and I are, my wife are traveling across the country, and we've stopped in Pittsburgh this evening, and we're glad to come to you live from Pittsburgh. We had the woman's broadcast, Christian Ladies broadcast scheduled for this evening, but we seem to have lost our host this evening. And it's highly unusual for Sister Alan Woody not to show up and to call in and to get on the, in the host queue, so we're not quite sure what's going on there, so we should be prayerfully keeping her in mind there. Amen? Amen. We have some lessons tonight, and we're going to put forth a lesson about some things about the Lord, and I'm sure you'll be thrilled to tune in with Dr. Ventura again. Unfortunately, I apologize, ladies, that Sister Alan Woody is not here this evening, which kind of left us unprepared. So we are on the road. But I want to thank our listening audience, and I want to thank Nathan on the spot for putting us on the spot, and we certainly are. And I'd like to thank those around the world who have prayed for us, emailed us, written, called. And again, I don't remember if anybody was listening last week. I put out a challenge last week, a worldwide challenge to anybody who would come on to the radio broadcast to meet me to discuss why they believe the NIV is the Word of God. And I did have a taker from another broadcast. Joseph Gibson has a program that he runs. And the funny thing was that he called me while I was on the road, and he told me there was a pastor who was willing and ready to meet me. Unfortunately. Do you have a later one on? Past 11, maybe 12, 13, no. And so the fellow was on the road, he said, on Interstate 40, and he wasn't able to meet me. But on the radio, and as soon as he got to a place to pull over, he would. And I said, well, that's quite interesting. I happen to be on Interstate 40 myself, and I'm stuck in traffic too. I said, but, you know, I know my Bible well enough to have a conversation. Well, I believe the King James Bible is the correct Bible. And so we did an hour-long broadcast. And by the way, that fellow never called in, that pastor. He was a pastor. And so, you know, life's a funny place. But I want to welcome you this evening. Without any further ado, I think we should get into a prayer for the Lord. And again, I want to thank all of you who have prayed for us and support us. And we certainly appreciate it. And we appreciate this guest spot on Thursday nights. Holy Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to thank you, Father God, for your kindness and for your mercy. We want to thank you, Father God, for all the wonderful things that you've done for us over the week and in our lives, the wonderful miracles that we have seen, the healings, and all the great things, Lord, that you have done for us. We just thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, Father God, we would ask that you would bless this listening audience and touch their spiritual eyes and ears and hearts, Lord, and give them the spirit of wisdom with revelation and knowledge of you, Lord. And that would be a wonderful thing, Father God. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, there's a little something here I have called the seven sevens, and I thought about teaching that this evening, and then I thought about going down to studying. Maybe we should study, go back and look at some things, but I'd like to go to Joshua chapter 1, if you would. And if you'd follow me over there, I know you didn't come to a Bible study without a Bible. That'd be a silly thing. And but if you're on the road and you're tuning in, I might understand that. Amen. It's funny, I've been to churches where people show up with Bibles, and it's kind of a sad thing. But in Joshua chapter 1, and I'd like to read the complete entire chapter, and then I'd like to discuss with you about courage. And, you know, courage is the grace of fearlessness. And every Christian should have courage. We're in a time in our Christian walk and lives when we're in perilous times in the world, and the world may be blind to it, but the Christian should not be. Paul said you should know the times and the seasons that we're in. And although we don't know the exact day the Lord is coming, we can see by the events going on in the world around us, that we're getting close. We're getting close. And you have to remember, we're the only age that where the whole world could see those two witnesses who were slain in Jerusalem. And, you know, that's coming upon us. And we'll be able to see that because we're the only generation that has high-speed internet and telephones and, you know, tweets and Twitters and all kinds of Facebook. And, you know, we can broadcast that stuff, and it gets worldwide, where that one time knowledge was not greatly known. Knowledge wasn't as well-known or well-publicized is what I mean. Things would happen in Europe, and it would take days to get to us. And even with television, you know, not even the whole world had a television, but, excuse me, there isn't a place in the world where they won't be able to see those two witnesses. And we need to know the times we're in. But tonight I want to try and encourage you as a Christian to have some courage, encourage in the Lord. Amen? And so let's read together the first chapter of Joshua, and then we'll come back and I'll give you a brief, short sermon, some notes about what it means to have courage as a Christian and why we need to have the courage and what you must have in your courage. And so I didn't say porridge, I said courage, although the word of God is me. Amen. Let's look at Joshua chapter 1. It says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong, and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." And we're in verse 7, Joshua chapter 1. "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through this host and command the people, saying, Prepare ye victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half tribe of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, saying, Lord, the Lord your God has given you rest, and has given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord have given your brethren rest, and he has given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession, and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so we will hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Verse 18. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against the commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. Amen. That's the first chapter of Joshua. And you know, I want you to look and think about this for a second. And I said this before, that courage, you know, for a Christian, courage is the grace of fearlessness. It is born out of truth. It is dominated by righteousness. And its highest form is begotten by the fear of God. Amen. Amen. And I want to give you some points tonight and some things for you to think about. By way of, I'd say 6 points here about. The first thing you and I should know as a Christian is you have to have the feet of courage in your Christian walk. There's too many Christians that are sitting around and complaining and murmuring about churches and about what's going on around them, and they're complaining about their condition of their churches, they're complaining about the condition of the people in the churches, and they're not even growing themselves, some of these people, and it's a terrible thing. But in order to grow, you have to go. You know, in Romans, the scripture says how precious are the feet of them that preach the gospel. Not the seat of them, the feet. You know, God was Jesus Christ was a street preacher, and he preached on the street, and he walked, and he talked, and he taught the people, and he rebuked the people, and he had courage to do those things. And you and I, as a Christian, have courage. But we must have the feet of courage. If you look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 2, it says, Moses, thy servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give thee, even to the children of Israel. Verse 11 says, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare your victuals. For within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess. So you see in those verses, go over Jordan, go over this Jordan. And that is the Lord's distinct and definite command. You know, there were many things in the way of the nation of Israel. The people were called of God. There were many things in their way, in their going. You think about this time period, there was a fast flow of that Jordan River. Jericho had its high walls. The Canaanites were in opposition. But when the Lord says go, it's not for you and I as Christians to reason. Our call is to respond. The one thought that dominated American soldiers and Allied forces during the Great War, and that's World War II, was that they were contending for the right against the arrogance of might. You know, they had winged feet in their cause. And when you know you're right, the difficulties of this life on earth, it will not hold you back as a Christian. You and I, like Paul, you know, we should press on. The Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. I press towards the mark of the high calling in God. Amen. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And you have to think about that. When you talk about a press, means to push, to press forward. And if you're pressing, it means you are exerting force. It doesn't mean that you're just walking through. You are exerting some type of force. And you think about when you put a thumbtack into a wall or a corkboard, and you have to push that in. You have to press it in. And Paul makes it distinct. He says, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press. I push. It's hard. Something's exerting force back, and Paul must press forward. And that is your Christian walk. The world is going to oppose you. Religions are going to oppose you. Your family is going to oppose you. Even sometimes members in your church will oppose you. And you must keep pressing, keep pushing forward no matter what. Keep pressing towards the high mark of the calling of Jesus Christ. You know, Paul says this over in 2 Timothy. And you don't have to go there unless you'd like to. It's 2 Timothy 4, 7, and 8. And, you know, we are the Sound Doctrine broadcast, and we're bringing you sound doctrine. This is meat and strong meat. And you know, there's too many Christians walking around with diapers on and drinking Christian milk still. But Hebrews says there's milk, meat, and strong meat. And too many of my Christian brothers have bibliophobia. They haven't even gone out this week and told anybody about Jesus Christ. And they have churches, and their churches are stunted in their growth, and they can't figure out what's going on. And the pastor doesn't soul win, and the people don't soul win, because they don't even have the feet of courage to go out. And yet they want to know why they're stagnant. But here we have in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 says, the Apostle Paul speaking, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You know, some of my Christian brothers don't even know what their course is. They think their course is just to have a full house. They think that their course is just to spend a day in church. They think their course is just to walk into the church and three times a week. And they don't even know what their course is. And they should pray about it. But Paul says, I have fought a good fight. Well, there must have been a fight, because he says he's finished his course. And along that course, he's had to fight. I have kept the faith. Well, what is the faith? The word of God. He has kept the faith. Here's verse 8. Hence there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. You know, some of my brethren don't even know that you can earn five different crowns as rewards as a Christian. They don't even understand that. And they think that, and some people are teaching that those crowns are not literal crowns. Well, in Revelations it says when we appear before the Lord, we throw our crowns at his feet. Amen? So if you didn't earn any crowns, how will you throw your crowns at the feet of the Lord? You're going to be embarrassed. Let me ask you this. If you're not reading your Bible, and you're not going to Bible study, and you're not growing, and even if you're going and you're not growing, and most of it's your own hindrance because you won't pray the pastor up before you get there, you're too busy looking around what's going on in the church, you're comparing the way you're dressed with the way other people are dressed, you're too concerned at what somebody's going to say about you or think about you, and you've taken the spiritual road and set it aside, and you're not walking down that fleshly road. And so these are great problems. But you know what? You have to have the feet of courage. We are in a society in a day today where Christians are being oppressed overseas. We live in America here, and we have the most blessed, sweetest honey God has blessed us with to be able to preach and teach still and walk down the street with the gospel of Jesus Christ and hand out tracts and literature and witness. And in the Middle East, our brethren are being slaughtered by the hundreds. Their heads are being chopped off. They're being drowned. They're being burned. They're being bombed. They're being murdered. They're being raped. They're being robbed. They're being tortured. They're being imprisoned. This is going on in the year 2016. Wake up, my Christian brethren. Where are you at? Lord, have mercy on some of your souls. But here's number one about our courage and our Christian walk. You must have the feet of courage. The Lord told them to go over this Jordan. You must be able to go over the Jordan. And listen, they had a lot of opposition. No, they may not have had taxes to pay, and they may not have bills to pay, and they may not have had some of the things that we have to worry about in our lives. But listen, those are nothing compared to what these people were facing. They were talking about they had to cross the Jordan River. The walls of Jericho were massive. The Canaanites were in the land to oppose them. But when the Lord says go, again, it's not for you and I to reason why. Our call as Christians is to respond to that. The one thought that I said before about that World War II generation was they knew one thing. They knew that they were fighting for what is right. The one thing I love about my Bible is this. The one thing I love about the Word of God is this. I know that sin can never affect the author of this book. And so I know that in my state, I am marred. I am not a complete person. There is something wrong with the human race, and it began in the Garden of Eden. And because there's something wrong with the Garden of Eden, and something wrong with that sin nature that fell upon us that we've inherited, our image, that image of God, which we were supposed to reflect, has been marred. And yes, when we are born again and we receive Jesus Christ, we get put back in that spiritual state. But the rest of the world is still
in a terrible, terrible, sinful state. And everything you know, and everything you know about this world from a worldly stand is tainted with sin. And so the only truth for you and I is the Word of God. And we know that the Word of God is without sin, and we know that the author is without sin, and his judgments are right. And so we know that his word cannot be contaminated if you have the true word. We know men are trying to contaminate it in the NIV, RSV, ASV message, and all that other rainbow nonsense going on in the world. Amen. So number one, you must have the feet of courage. That means you must press like Paul. You must push through your problems. You must have faith in Jesus Christ and keep marching the march. Here's number two. You must have the ground of courage. Look at Joshua chapter 1. Verse number 6, the Lord tells Joshua, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance of the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Hey, listen, if God's sworn to do something, God's going to do it. Verse number 9, have not I commanded thee? It's a question. Didn't I command you? That's what the Lord's saying to him. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou go. Amen. Verse 18. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. Now listen, my brother, the Lord said something very interesting here in his word in verse number 9. He said, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Man, hey, listen, if the Lord is with you, there is nothing in the world that you cannot do that is in the will of God. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became governor. The Lord was with Jesus, and look at Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The Lord is with Joshua, and you know the story. They certainly go in and conquer. So number one, you have to have the feet of courage. Number two, you must have the ground of courage. And the ground of courage is the Lord's command and his promise. You and I have a command and a promise in our lives as Christian men and women, boy and girl. When the Lord commands us, we obey. Courage will come to you and I. Listen, the Lord, his presence will sustain us. There's no question in my mind. His promises are going will bring us joy, and what God pledges to us will draw us to him. You know, a wise preacher once said this about the book of Joshua. He said, it's a book which tells us, straight from the lips of God, all we ought to do and need to know. It's a book to be trusted as a captain's order, to be heard and obeyed at our peril. Amen. Amen. Now listen, I'm able to rightly divide the word of God. I understand that there's a spiritual application here. You and I are not going to go take the walls of Jordan down. But I'll tell you, there's walls in your life that are up. And you're not even praying through those walls. You're just trying to get around the wall or trying to get over the wall instead of praying to God to get that wall out of your way like he did it over there in Jericho. You know, God's a wonderful. God has a sense of humor. You and I, we have a victory. And we and our nation will have a victory, and we'll go out and we'll celebrate it in the streets after we've won the victory. God didn't do that. He's had a parade before. He sent the soldiers and Israel around Jericho 7 times for 7 days. They had a parade, 7-day parade going on. And then the victory came. You know, your problem is you've been thinking too long like man. You think is seeing is believing, but that's not true. God says believing is seeing. Amen. And you and I can find many commands in the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Here's some of them that we even read that you weren't paying attention because you just read your Bible. You don't think about what you're reading. Oh, I did my duty. I was supposed to read a chapter today. Oh, I have my reading course. Read 4 chapters of the old and 2 of the new every day. In about 6 months, I'll read my Bible. Come on, cut it out. Stop playing with God. Listen, you and I, in this book of Joshua, chapter 1, here's 9 commandments that you and I have that we've read. And you must, some of them you've overlooked. All right? Number one, he said, go over. Number two, he said, be strong. Number three, he said, be of good courage. Number four, he said, observe to do. Number five, do not depart. Number six, meditate. Number seven, be not afraid. Number eight, be not dismayed. And number nine, remember. Remember. Okay? And all that came out of one chapter. Those are all the commands of the Lord that did, not all of them, but these are commands you can find in chapter one. And we just read that. We spent our time in the Word of God, and we started out with the Word of God, and we end with the Word of God. So number one, courage in the Lord for a Christian. You have to have feet of courage. You must go. You have to have the ground of courage. Well, the ground of courage for you and I is the Word of God and our faith in Jesus Christ. Number three, you have to have the action of courage. What good is having feet of courage that'll go and the ground of courage if you don't have any action that goes with the courage? You know, Christians say, well, I'm praying for that brother. Why don't I go knock on that brother's door? When's the last time you called a person that was not in your church for some time, you hadn't seen them, and they were ill maybe, and you didn't know? When's the last time you called somebody who was sick in your church and you asked them, how are you? Can I pray for you? Can I pray with you? Is there something I could bring to your house? Why are you waiting for somebody else to do that? A lot of my Christian brothers and sisters are waiting for somebody else to do it. Oh, they're so wrapped up with their jobs and their homes and their families and their cars and their taxes and their neighborhoods and their entertaining and barbecues and picnics and vacations. And you know what? They forgot their Christian brothers and sisters. Where is the love of God in your heart? That's what I want to know. It's easy to point fingers at other people, but where is the love of God in your heart? If you're such a loving Christian, why are you letting your neighbors go to hell? You know hell's a real place. You won't even tell your neighbors. You'll sacrifice some for the Lord, but you're not going to sacrifice all, that's for sure. You're going to give what's convenient. Number one, you must have the feet of courage. Number two, you must have the ground of courage. Number three, you must have the action of courage. In verse number seven of Joshua, it says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Hey, stay on that straight path, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Amen. Verse 8 tells you, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate. Hey, you're to think on these things day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And what will happen? If you meditate upon the Word of God day and night and you keep it in your heart, and what's going to happen is, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Observe to do, that's the key note, which is sounded right through the entire chapter. The law, well, we know we're under grace, we're not under law, but the law was what the people of God were to observe and to do. And the people of God were there and are to observe all of it, not some of it. And that's what's wrong with some of you. Some of you only want to obey some of the Bible. They're not to deviate from it, either to the right hand or to the left. The law was not to depart out of their mouth. They were to be talking about it during the day. They were to be talking about the God with their neighbors. They were to be talking about God with their family. They were to be talking about this word of the law is not to depart out of your mouth. So what I ask you, brethren, what's coming out of your mouth? Because Jesus said, whatever's in your heart comes out of your mouth. So what's in your mouth? What have you been saying today? Do you think Jesus would say that? Kind of tells you what's in your heart, doesn't it? The law was not to depart from their mouth, always to be with them. And they were to meditate therein day and night. And if they did these things, you know what would happen? The Lord promised them good success and prosperity in their life. Now listen, I'm not a prosperity preacher. I don't believe you can outgive God, that's for sure. I believe many of my Christian brothers are going to church and they're tipping God. They're not tithing to God. And, you know, we don't have a command to tithe in the New Testament, but often people come to me and they say, Dr. Ventura, what do you think a good tithe is? And I say, well, a good measure of a tithe would be 10%. I mean, that was acceptable in the Old Testament. And by the way, if you didn't pay that tithe, you know, there was an extra 5 you were supposed to throw in there percent. But, you know, you say, where's that? Well, read your Bible. You know, I'm not going to, this is an hour program. I'm not going to hold your hand tonight, okay? You know, this is the problem with some of you. You're like a child who walks in. Imagine you sitting in your living room or your kitchen entertaining guests, and your 8-year or 10-year-old son walks in the room wearing a pair of diapers and a bottle and says, "Mommy, can you change me?" You know the shock that would be on the people's face that came to visit you to see your son in diapers. Well, listen, God's pretty shocked with some of you. You're still walking around when you should be mature Christians, acting like baby Christians. You got your Christian diapers on and you're sucking on a Christian bottle. And, you know, why don't you grow up and step out on faith? You see, you can't grow and exercise your spiritual muscles until you step out on faith. So why don't you just trust God and get out there? Why don't you get down the street and hand out some tracts? Why don't you go tell some people about the Lord Jesus Christ? And then God will prosper you. You see, you have to have the feet of courage. You have to have the ground of courage. You have to have the action of courage. Here's another thing. Verse number 9. See, have not I commanded? He says, you must have the face of courage. Do you have the face of courage? You know, the Lord told some of his prophets, hey, don't fear their faces. Some of you are afraid of people. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You have to have the face of courage, Christian. And if you could look with confidence into the face of God, when you're praying, you're looking into the face of God. And you're asking God, your Father, for something. And if you could look into the face of God, you'll be able to look into the face of men. Amen. What is a man? He lives and dies. But God controls where your soul's going to go and your spirit. And the Lord bids you and I, boy and girl, man and woman, just like the Lord bid Joshua, not to be afraid nor dismayed. Don't be afraid in your Christian walk. What are you afraid of? You got the Father. My wife and I this morning, we were listening, Sister Marilyn and I were listening to Isaiah this morning, and we read in we heard in the, on the tape, because we travel and we like to listen to the scriptures in the car, and we like to keep ourselves, fill that command, try and keep Christian music in our hearts that teach us something. And we heard the portion where Elisha and Elijah, you know, were out there and together. And then we got to the place where, you know, the people were scared and they were fearful. And Elisha said to the Lord, you know, open their eyes. And he told the people before that, he said, you know, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And I said to my wife, you know, I preached a sermon on that one time. My wife said, what do you mean? And I said, well, the truth is this. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. And so when Elijah opened the eyes of his servants, they saw chariots of fire all around them. He opened their spiritual eyes, and they saw the angels and the chariots of fire and the protection they had. And they that were with them were the host of the angels of God. And the host of the angels of God surround the Christians. God is surrounding the Christian men and women and boy and girl in their Christian walk. And by prayer and power, you release the power of God to send his angels. And a lot of people don't understand this. I don't know why my prayers aren't getting answered. I give up after one day. If you read the book of Daniel, Daniel prayed for 21 days before the angel Gabriel got there. Now imagine you praying for 21 days and fasting for 21 days. Some of you are afraid to fast one meal. Some of you won't even fast a half a meal. Some of you wouldn't fast your desserts. So, you know, where do you want to see the power of God in your life? But Daniel set out in his heart to get an answer from God to his prayer, and he fasted and he prayed for 21 days. And you know what? The angel Gabriel showed up, and the angel Gabriel told him that Daniel was beloved of God, and that from the very first day that Daniel prayed, God had sent Gabriel with an answer. And so the answer was on its way. But the king of Persia, who, by the way, is Satan, and the king held Gabriel back and was fighting against him and wouldn't let him get to Daniel with the message. And so Gabriel had to call Michael the archangel. Now listen, this isn't fantasy. Go read the book. You don't know these things, you don't read your Bible. Read the book of Daniel. And Gabriel shows up and tells Daniel that, hey, I was sent from God the first day, but I couldn't get here because I was opposed by the satanic forces. But I called Michael the archangel and he helped me, and I was able to get here, you see. And so he brings up, that's what's wrong with some of you. You don't understand that your churches don't even, your pastors don't take the time to teach you about spiritual warfare. You don't know anything about spiritual warfare, most of you. And you're being sifted like sand, you know, like flour in a sifter by Satan. And you're tossed and turned and tormented, and you're weak in faith because you don't even know how to defend yourself against the devil. Jesus Christ knew how to defend himself against the devil. The devil said, hey, eat this bread. He tried to tempt him. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. My brethren, you have the power to rebuke in the name of Jesus Christ. That's your authority. Now, people say to me over in Jude, you know, we found that Michael the archangel didn't have the authority to rebuke Satan. He had a call, you know, saying in the name of the Lord. Hey, listen, he had a call. You have the power to quote Scripture. Jesus Christ had the power to quote Scripture. And I found when the devil puts a fornicating thought in my head that I can turn and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke that thought, for it is written, flee fornication. Now, how do I know that? Because I read it in my Bible. And if you'd learn about your Bible, you'd be able to quote it too. You know, sometimes I have to tell the devil to go home. You know what I'm saying. Amen? In a nice way. But the people of God, they were to observe all those things and meditate on the Word of God. And they had that promise that they'd have good success and prosperity. Here's number four. You have to have the face of courage. Too many Christians are so timid, they're afraid. You know, and it shows right on your face. What are you afraid of? Brethren, if you were to die this moment, you'd be in the presence of God. Here's why you're so defensive. When a Christian brother or sister comes to you with good Christian advice, you become defensive. It's just innate within the human being. Most of us spend our lives trying not to get hurt. This is the truth. We spend all our lives trying not to get hurt. Hey, listen, something terrible happened in that Garden of Eden. And God, Adam trusted on nobody, and Eve trusted in nobody but God himself. And that was all self-sufficient for Adam. All he needed was God. And he was God-sufficient, and he didn't need anybody else. He depended on God for everything. And then when that sin came in, he had to get outside the garden. He had to start becoming self-sufficient and depending on himself. And man was hurt. Sin hurt mankind. And you and I don't like to be hurt. And so when a brother or a sister comes to you and they say something to you, even you do this with your spouses and your brethren and your friends and your neighbors, and they come and say, you know, I want to tell you something, and they bring you some critical criticism, your first defense is to fight back. And it's not that you're fighting back because you want to be disrespectful, but it's your natural, physical, sinful reaction to protect your body, to protect yourself. And so you push back. You're always pushing back. And that's why a lot of you don't have teachable spirits, because you're afraid to get hurt. And you think that when somebody tells you something, you have to fight back because you're going to get hurt. And it's not always to hurt you. Sometimes it's to help you, my brother. It's to help you. And so we have to learn to receive. And you need to have the face of courage. Verse 9 says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And again, if you could look God with confidence into the face of God, you should be able to look into, you know, the face of man. The Lord bids you and I not to be dismayed, not to be afraid. You know, one of the greatest things that was said about John Knox was this. He never feared the face of man. And when he heard one of Queen Mary's attendants say of him, he's not afraid. All right? That's in reference to the Queen's anger against Knox. Knox said, why should the pleasing face of a gentle woman afraid me, when I have looked into the face of many angry men and yet have not been afraid? Brethren, when our hearts are in the will of God, when you and I are following in his steps, all right, in the steps of him who set his face like a flint, you and I can confidently and steadfastly go on with the Lord. Amen? We can, you know, brethren. You need to rally up, onward Christian soldier. After all, you and I have seen the cross of Calvary, in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The scriptures record Jesus approaching Calvary. In Luke 9:51, it says, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. In another place, it said the Lord had the face of a flint, of a flint. A flint is a hard rock. It's hard to chip, and it's hard to break. It's hard, a flint. And Jesus Christ had the face of flint. He was going to Calvary. He knew what was coming, but he went steadfastly there. He didn't care. He had a purpose. He knew what his course was in his life, and he continued on to that course. And brethren, that's what you and I must do. Okay, so here we have, you have to have the feet of courage, you must have the ground of courage, you must have the action of courage, you have to have the face of courage, and number five, you have to have the mind of courage. What is the mind of courage? Well, let's go look in Joshua. Verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Amen. Verse 13 says, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God has given you rest and has given you this land. Amen. So you have to have the mind of courage. So here we find the twofold injunction which relates to the mind. Meditate and remember. That's what you want to do. Put the word of God in your heart and remember it. When your mind meditates upon the word of God with an intense regard, it'll cause the fire of devotion to burn with a fervent flame like a furnace in your heart. Amen. And it'll show itself a ready response to what God commands you, what the Lord commands, what the Lord requires of every Christian. Jeremiah said this, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary with forbearance. I could not stay. He couldn't shut up. He couldn't stop. He couldn't hold the word of God. It was burning a fire in his heart. And that's the difference between a man who's called to preach and a man who went. There are men who are sent by God, and there are men who went, and the men who went have no power. But a man who's sent, he has that fervent fire burning in his heart. He has to preach the word of God. He must preach the word of God. He needs to preach the word of God. It's burning up within him. And Christian, when you remember what the Lord has promised, it'll cause you and I to enjoy what he has given each of us. And we'll have that fervent spirit. Listen, Nehemiah says the word of God's supposed to bring joy to your heart. And if you're reading this word of God and you're not finding joy, then you need to check your sin chart, because maybe you haven't kept the short order. Here's number six. Number six, finally, you have to have the strength of courage. The Lord said in verse 5 of our text, I will be with thee. And the Lord followed it up with this saying, the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Listen, the presence of God Almighty in your life, this is the secret of everything, my Christian brethren. It's the giver of rest, as Moses found. It is the soul of prosperity, as Joseph experienced. It's the cause of victory, as King David knew. It is the sustainer in our trials, as Paul enjoyed. It's the companion in solitude and loneliness, as John, who was confined at the island of Patmos, discovered. You know, I'm reminded of a story I once heard. There was a preacher walking home on a very dark night, and he's walking along this country lane. And if you ever lived in the country, I lived out in the country up near Watertown, Connecticut at one time in that area, and very, very dark country roads, no lighting. And so this old preacher, he's walking down this country lane, and someone wanted to scare the preacher, and they shouted out of the darkness, "Preacher, the devil's in the hedges." And the preacher responded, "Bless the Lord, I didn't think he was as far off as that." And the preacher went on his way singing, amen. You know, one of the things I remember that Jimmy Swaggart saying years ago, and, you know, God forgive Jimmy Swaggart, but, you know, for being doctrinally unsound, but among other things. But you know what? One thing Jimmy Swaggart said, one night he was sleeping in his bed, he says, and he woke up, and he felt a presence behind him, and it was the devil. And he says, and he rolled over, and he said, "Oh, it's just you." And he rolled back over and went back to sleep. Amen. Hey, we serve a mighty God. Whew, hallelujah. Well, brethren, so tonight we've talked about courage in the Lord. Number one, you have to have the feet of courage. Number two, you have to have the ground of courage to stand upon. Hey, I stand upon the Word of God, and that gives me all the courage. That's great courage. You have to have the action of courage. You have to be able to observe and to do what the Word of God tells you. You have to have the face of courage. You know, when they were in the battle, and there was a battle going on in Israel, and they were surrounded, and I believe it was Joab, and they were surrounded, and the enemy was in front, and the enemy was behind, and it was a horrible war, and they looked at each other, and these were great, brave men of God. They were warriors, but they feared, and they knew that, hey, this is serious. We could come out losing in this thing. But then they said, listen, let's play the man and let the Lord have his will. And that's what they said and thought. We'll play the man. Hey, listen, we don't know if we're going to win. It looks like things are bad against us, but let's act like men anyway and for our nation and see what God will do. And so for the Lord of Israel. And, you know, God took gave them the victory. They played the man. And you know what, young man, if you're listening to me, there's going to come a time in your life when you're going to have to do something and you don't feel man enough to do it. But it's the right thing to do. And you know what you have to do? You have to play the man. That's the time in your life when you stand up for Jesus Christ and you play the man. Now, I'll tell you what, Brother Joe, who has another program, and he's been on here, Joe Gibson and I have talked, we've walked through some treacherous places together. Now, I used to say, it's places where angels dare not, you know, where angels tread lightly. And we've come through some very, very dark hallways in our lives. But we knew one thing, that Jesus Christ was there with us, and we were scared, but we couldn't show our fear at times, but we played the man, and the Lord had his way, and we blessed him, we were prospered, and here we are today, able to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, because we played the man. And sometimes, my brethren, you have to play the man. Get on out there and hand out those tracts. Get out and tell somebody to come to church. Bring somebody to church. Go out into the hedges and the highway. Listen, Jesus said he invited their neighbors and their friends and all the people that were wealthy and were all comfortable in life, and they refused to come to the wedding supper. So he told them to go out and beat the hedges and along the highways. Well, you know what's in the hedges on the highways? Homeless. Homeless people. The less fortunate. That's where you want to go. Go find the less fortunate of this world. They want to hear about Jesus Christ. They have a need for hope. Every human being in this world is ultimately searching for their creator. What do you think space exploration is? Spending billions and billions of dollars to find out where they came from. Well, they're searching for God, and they don't even know it. In our hearts, there's an emptiness of an unsaved man. It's a deep darkness, and every man knows it, and he's trying to fill it with cars, and he's trying to fill it with money, and he's trying to fill that void with riches and materialism, and it just keeps bringing him more and more misery. There is no peace, and there is no hope without Jesus Christ in your life. And if you're out there this evening and you're unsaved, you can fill that lonely spot in your heart. You can fill that empty void that you know is there, because you know no matter how much money you have, there's always that spot. No matter how many friendships you have, you always have that empty spot. And you know what's missing in your life? It's the Lord Jesus Christ, your creator, your God. He desires a relationship with you. He created mankind to have a relationship. He created Adam so that he could have a relationship with him. God is a personal, relational being. He has the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they have a perfect relationship. And he wants to have a relationship with his creatures, and that's why he created us. Not to lord over us or to put a thumb on our head. Listen, we've all had human fathers, and they told us to do things which were good for us. Hey, don't put your hand in the fire. It's going to burn. Well, God has the wisdom. You and I, if we took all the knowledge of this universe, you and I don't even have a pinpoint of it. You know how small a pin is, the head of a tack? You and I don't even have that much knowledge in our own heads. And we serve a mighty and a gracious and a great God. And he wants to have a relationship with you. And so he sent his son, Jesus Christ, for that purpose. I said the other night on the radio, and somebody asked me, well, you know, I don't understand this Jesus thing. And I said, we have to look at it this way. Say you wanted to speak to an ant. There's a colony of ants out there, and you know that if they continue to build and build, they're going to fall into the furnace, off the shelf, into the furnace, and they're all going to die. And they're ants. How can you communicate with these ants? Well, if you became an ant, you could communicate with them. Well, listen, God created humans, and he wanted to communicate with humans, and so he sent his son, Jesus Christ, who was God, manifested in the flesh, to communicate with you. And he can communicate with you. And so if you're unsaved, you're tired of that life you've been living, you're tired of the bottom of that bottle or that next joint, you're just tired of your sinfulness, your sexual immorality, your weaknesses, your addictions, if you're just tired of it, repent. Repent of your sin. Turn around and say, I'm done with this. Throw it to the side and come to Jesus Christ. Throw that garment, that filthy garment of sin aside and come to the cross of Jesus Christ and say, Jesus, Lord God Almighty, I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son and my Savior, and he died for my sins. And Lord, I believe that he resurrected on the third day and he's sitting at your right hand now. And I ask and I receive Jesus Christ right now as my Lord and Savior. And brethren, if you truly prayed that, friend, if you prayed that prayer tonight, we'd love to hear from you. Because the Word of God says in Romans that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Brethren, my friends, it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, white or black, green or yellow, red or purple. All I know is when we get to the cross of Jesus Christ, nobody brings their wealth with them. Nobody brings all their friends with them. Nobody, everybody gets there. We're all at the same plane. We're all on the same playing field. We're broke, we're lame, we're poor, we're beggars, and we're coming to the Lord Jesus Christ to reconcile a relationship that was broken in the Garden of Eden through sin. And that sinfulness has infiltrated the human race and has caused you and I to be separated from our God. But God found the solution, and he sent Jesus Christ to you and I. And thank God for Jesus Christ, because I don't have to go to hell. I was hell bound and I was hell deserving, but my sins are forgiven. And when I get to heaven, I know that I don't have to worry about going to hell. Amen. Praise Jesus. And if you prayed that prayer tonight, you contact us here at the Sound Doctrine Broadcast. You can contact Nathan on the spot by going onto the internet, Block Talk Radio, Nathan on the spot. You can talk. You can contact Dr. Ventura at ventura.peter77@gmail.com. That's ventura.peter77@gmail.com. And I'm going to give you my personal phone number, and feel free to call me. And my area code is 203-240-0377. That's area code 203-240-0377. And if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you have a question, you can email me, or you can send it to the church, Bible Believers Baptist Church of Imperial Beach. You can send it to P.O. Box 1536, Imperial Beach, California, 91933. That's Bible Believers Baptist Church of Imperial Beach, California, P.O. Box 1536, and that's 91932, Imperial Beach, California. Excuse me, 91933. And I'd love to hear from you, and I'm welcoming you, and I'm giving you my personal cell phone. I'll be glad and more than happy to pray with you if you need prayer, if you just need somebody to talk to, if you want to know more about Jesus Christ. If you prayed that prayer tonight and you received the Lord Jesus Christ, I'd love to send you some literature to help you in your Christian walk. My best advice for you is to find the Bible-believing fundamental King James-only Bible-believing church. find yourself a good Bible-believing Baptist church that only uses the King James Bible and knows how to rightly divide the Word of God. And I wish you listening audience the very best. Stay encouraged. Be encouraged. Have courage in the Lord. Use your feet of courage. Stand on the ground of courage, which is the Word of God. You get out there and put some action for the Lord. Have the face of courage. Look and you're, listen, you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Represent your country. Your country is heaven. Stand forward and stand for the Jesus Christ. Dress properly, look properly, speak properly, behave properly, and live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Put that face of courage on and get out there. Have the mind of courage. Put the Word of God in your heart and have the strength of courage to our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord bless you. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, we bow our heads before you this evening. We thank you, Almighty God, for the message you've given us, Lord, tonight. We thank you for this listening audience, Lord. We ask you to continue to bless them, to watch over them, watch over our sick, Lord. We have many in our church that are not well, and that you would heal them, Father God, this evening. We thank you for blessing those that have reached out to us, Father, and when those who have not, Lord, we ask you to bless our Christian brethren overseas who are being persecuted and being murdered and tortured, and Father, let them know we prayed for them here on earth while they were here, and when they get there, God, I always tell my wife, Lord, tell them to save a chair for me, amen. And I praise you, Lord, and I thank you for this evening, for the Sound Doctrine broadcast. In the name of Jesus, amen. Nathan, it's you.